Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
So mentioned Jerry and Fern Hill, we're thankful for them having served here previously, and we will get to hear from Jerry this afternoon, but we're thankful for that John has joined us to share a class with us, and probably as we go throughout the day sharing some memories as well. But without taking any more of his time, I'll turn it over to John.
Thank you, Andrew. What a tremendous lesson you had. I really appreciated that, and I'm just really thankful that you're here. But I will warn you, this congregation will have an effect on you. If you're not careful and you stay here long enough, it'll turn you into an old white-headed man. But it's a special day, and any Lord's Day is a great day, but somehow to have this day, to think back over 60 years of this congregation, that's rather amazing to me to think about it lasting that long and being so vibrant in the future that this congregation has. Wonderful to see so many of you. It's just really, really special day. As I understand, my assignment is to have a lesson, a Bible lesson, but also to reminisce a little bit about this congregation over the past decades. And a lot of us that are here this morning can remember some of those early days. But the passage that I'd like to begin with this morning, and I do want to thank the elders and this congregation for letting me be a part of this, and Hilda and our daughter Vicki are here today, and so it's just a wonderful day. But in this passage, from 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, the 24th verse, it's a time when Samuel, the last of the judges, is meeting with the people, with the Israelites, and he's about to turn over the reign of authority to Saul, the first king of Israel. But he has the people together, and he speaks to them. And near the end of the words and the encouragement and what he's saying to these people, you find this passage: "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he hath done for you." At this point, Samuel was an old man. His sons were not good men. The people were saying, we want to have a king like the nations around us. And so Samuel, while he understands God is not approving what they're doing, he is going to allow it to take place. And he said, "Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." But then Samuel has this great admonition for the people. And there are several things in here that I think are appropriate for us on this occasion, for this congregation, as you look to the future. I know that this congregation is made up of men and women and elders and deacons and ministers who do respect the Lord. Samuel knew that so long as Israel would stay faithful to the Lord, so long as they would fear him, that is, respect him, if they respected God, they would be faithful to him. And then he said to them, serve him. But not just serve him in truth. John 17:17, sanctify them in thy word, or in the truth, thy word is truth. And he knew so long as the people stayed faithful to God's word, to the truth, that they would indeed stay faithful to the Lord. And then he added to that, serve him with truth, in truth, with all of your heart. God always wants all of our heart. Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Satan, of course, is pretty happy to have any small part of it. But God wants all of our heart. And again, Samuel knew that if these people would stay faithful to the Lord, that they would fear him, respect him. If they would serve him in truth, that is, according to his word. And if they would do it with all of their heart, that they would stay faithful to the Lord. And the basis that he's encouraging them to do that is on the fact, he said, now remember what God's done for you. They might have said, why, Samuel? Why should we do this? Well, he said, remember what the Lord's done for you. And as I think about this congregation over the years, we can certainly think of great things that the Lord has done for the people who have made up this church over the years. And therefore we too, and in the future, fear the Lord, serve Him in truth, with all your heart, for consider how great things He's done. Well, let's look at some of those things that have happened back over the years, and so we're just going to reminisce a little bit this morning. You have to begin with the Highland Avenue congregation. Actually, they were in a building prior to the one that's pictured here. But the brethren at Highland Avenue, that was the largest congregation in Murray County at the time. And they had a dream. But they didn't just dream, they acted upon it. And they bought what was considered a restaurant out here. I'm being real generous, I think. that Twin Oaks Dinner Club was a honky-tonk. Now, at least that's what they tell me. I never visited. But anyway, it was for sale, and so they bought that building and began meeting there. And some of you, like Ray Grissom, who read the scripture this morning, read the first scripture as that little band met together that Sunday morning. But you have to give Highland Avenue great credit for the Graymere congregation. You know, they could have kept the people that left Highland and came over to start this congregation and start other congregations actually in this town. But they had the vision to launch out, and we're thankful for that. Then you think back over the years, that first Sunday when the brethren met in 1956, Brother Warren Tarpley, who was the minister of the Highland Avenue Church at that time, came and preached the very first sermon. And that afternoon, Brother J.P. Sanders, who was dean of David Lipscomb College, came, and they said something like 1,000 people gathered for that first afternoon service. And then there was Brother Guthrie, came in 56, Brother Alfred Palmer in 57, Brother Fred Mosley came in 1958, and Brother Jerry Hill and Fern, who are here this morning, and to whom this congregation likewise owes tremendously, and came in 61. And then Ellis Coates came in 1965. Ellis was an Alabama young man, and he loved Alabama, and after 18 months, he said he just had to go back to Alabama, for which I am eternally grateful. And after Ellis left, they were kind enough to let me come. And I have to give Jerry credit, I think, for part of that as well. Because when I was really a green little preacher down at Cullioca and waiting for Hilda to get out of college so we could get married, Jerry invited me a time or two to come over to Graymere and to speak. And I remember some vacation Bible schools. But then, of course, Kirk Brothers came in 2004, and now Andrew Phillips is here. This is a picture of Brother Guthrie. Brother Guthrie, all reports, was just a fine man, but he had diabetes, and he had lost a leg, and when he was moving some of his books, boxes, I presume, of books, heavy load, it caused a hemorrhage in that stump of a leg, and he died from that. And so Brother Palmer came after that, and then in 1958, Brother Fred Mosley and his family came to Graymere. And Brother Mosley was the right man at the right time. He was a man who had the ability to envision and to encourage, and he just was a good builder, a good beginning. And this was the groundbreaking. Some of these pictures may be in other places, but you know, it used to be the Twin Oaks Dinner Club. That's one of the oaks there. They cut it down when they built this auditorium. But Brother J.C. Warren, one of the very first elders with Brother Mosley, groundbreaking for this building. And when it was going up, it was quite a sight. Never had been a church building in this area. It looked anything like this. In fact, when the brethren were meeting and decided, the architect, by the way, had brought some drawings down of this strange A-frame building, and the men of the congregation were meeting, and they were kind of going around, what do you think? Should we do this? Is this the kind of building we want? Brother Jim Ferris's father, James Ferris, who's here this morning, and also his other son, another of his sons is here this morning. Brother Jim Ferris became one of the elders here, but it was his father that was in that meeting, and the brethren respected what he had to say. And he hadn't said anything. And so finally, they were all talking, and they said to Brother Ferris, "Well, what do you think, Brother Ferris?" He said, "Well, it looks like a chicken coop, but I guess that'll be all right." And so they decided they would go ahead and build it. But that was quite a sight to see that building go up. This is the way I first remember seeing it. And when Jerry was here, there was a man in town. His wife was a member of the congregation here, but he owned a sign company, and he designed and built that sign that kind of went along with the architecture of the building, and that stood there for many years. And you'll notice out in front of the building, there was a driveway, which is now just lawn, but you used to be able to park cars there in the front. And you'll notice also in this picture some white columns down at the bottom part of that building. If you look to either side, you'll see those columns. When this was enlarged, those columns were put inside. They were encased in wood, but at the bottom of these beams on either side, that's what you see there on the outside of that building. Had a white roof, I remember, and it was so steep the shingles kept falling off. And that's why we have a metal building, a copper building today. And this is the way the auditorium looked during at the outset. There were two pulpits, and the communion table stood up here. Some of you would not remember the color of the glass that was originally in the front and the back windows of this building. And there was a canopy that came over the building here, and our public address system consisted of a column, a kind of a curved column that had 13 little speakers in it. The acoustics in this building had always been very difficult. A man from Huntsville, Alabama, was visiting. He came up with that idea and gave it to him. And that's what we used for many, many years. You'll notice also there's a little ridge that runs around behind the pulpit. Some of you already know where I'm going with this. But one Sunday, Brother B.C. Goodpasture was here, and his wife, editor of the Gospel Advocate, one of the really great preachers. My dad was here. And they were sitting down here about where Ken is, and I was scared to death. Young preacher and this Gospel Advocate editor here, and the little ridge that ran around there. Well, I had not much more than begun the sermon till people started laughing. I thought, what in the world? Did I forget to put something on? what have I said? And I never did know. Sometimes some over here would be laughing, and another time some back here would be laughing, and it was terrible, at least from my standpoint. But what was happening was there was a little mouse that got on that ridge that went around, and it was behind me, and then it would go around here where Brother Joe Scott, who lacked hair, he was bald-headed, and that mouse would get right behind him like he was going to jump. No, that's too slick. I'm going to go back to the other side. And so it was just going back and forth the whole service. And I had no idea. And after the service, Brother Goodpasture, who was rather droll, he said, "John, y'all put on that show every Sunday?" But Brother Fred Mosley was quite a promoter. And even when we didn't have a lot of the ability to make signs and things today, he would mimeograph things off and get people excited. And so this was when they were going to have the opening of that new building. That was 1950-59. And then Jerry and Fern came to Graymere with their children. Timothy in that picture, Timothy, of course, died. And he had had a vision of a ranch for boys who needed help. And so the Timothy Hill Ranch came from that. But while the Hills were here, there were some tremendous things that took place. They had a great influence. Murray Christian Camp, that our young people are still enjoying to this day, was begun by the Hills. The two-story educational building that's behind this auditorium, it used to be a freestanding building. That was built during the time that Jerry was here. Jerry had a great influence on this congregation, and I always appreciated him through the years. Brother Ellis Coates came after that, and then I came in 67. I tell you, Andrew, it'll change you. It'll do things to... And then Kirk came after that. These were the elders at Graymere, Brother Roy Crabtree in the top right-hand corner, Brother Lloyd Pruitt in the bottom corner, and Brother J.C. Warren in the other bottom corner were the first elders of the congregation. And then you see Brother Grissom, whose son read this morning, and Brother Jim Ferris that I've mentioned, and others. They were tremendously good, visionary, sound elders. And these men were the deacons at that time. You see Brother Harold Hardison and Brother Joe Huckabee, who's here this morning. Brother Glenn Kennard is still a part of the congregation. And they let some young fella come in here to preach. And then there's Joe Scott and Jim Kerrigan. I was so glad to see Jim a while ago, who led the singing here, and we worked together for so many years. But then they're down at the bottom, and Brother Aubrey Prince. Aubrey gave a lot to building this congregation. And Marie Hunter was the first secretary. She had retired from an insurance company, and the preacher and the secretary's office is where Chad's office is now. It's a small office, but at that time it was divided into two rooms. Two obviously small rooms. And the preacher's office was in the back, his study, and Marie had her office in the front. And she said anytime anybody came to visit the preacher, she would just start typing as hard and fast as she could so she couldn't hear what they were saying in there. But she later even bought herself an electric typewriter. But she was the secretary when Fred Mosley was here, when Jerry was here, when Ellis was here, and when I was here. And during that period when I was here, she finally retired, and she said, "I'm not going to break in any more preachers." But she was a good one. Back in those days, the supervisors, Brother Hardison and Brother Hunter, were the overseers of the educational department. Sister Hunter and Sister Hardison are here this morning. Great to see them. And, of course, you recognize George Brazelton, who's still a vital part. And then the coordinators, June Anderson, still part of the current church here, and Glenn Kennard. And you can tell this was a few years ago. Just look at the hats and gloves. I wish we had time just to look at all of those, because there's so many that are going on. But some of you still here today. Pushed it too hard. And then this was a real special day for us. This was in 1972. And prior to this time, there was the small auditorium. This auditorium had been built. And then there was a freestanding two-story educational building. So to go from one building to the other, you had to go outside. And if it was raining, it was a little bit of a problem. So on this occasion, they decided that they would tie the buildings together. And the elders gave me permission to ask Brother Baxter. And I've thought about that over the years. I don't know of anybody in the Brotherhood that was more well-known, but also with a heavier schedule than Brother Bachelbert Baxter. Preached for the Hillsborough Church in Nashville, on the Herald of Truth radio program, teaching Bible at Lipscomb Community College. Just a tremendous schedule. And as a young fellow, I had the audacity to ask him if he would come. And he did. And he preached that Sunday. It was really a special, special day. But then we had the groundbreaking for these buildings to be tied together. All of those men are gone now, save one, me. I don't know what there, okay. The first part of that, in this picture, that first, from about the telephone pole forward, was the little auditorium, that restaurant. First thing they did was add four classrooms onto the back. The classrooms that you're looking at there, those windows, now form the library, but they had four classrooms. The front of that, there were two little rooms that are still there. That was the nursery and the library. They're tiny little rooms. And then when we started tying it together, this part of the building was added. And then when this auditorium was going to be enlarged from about 600 capacity to it's really about 1,100. I guess you could get in 1,200 if everybody went inhale and exhale just right, but it would be tight. But during that time, this part was added to the fellowship hall, and we met in there for worship while this construction was going on. Then there was another groundbreaking with Brother Tom Holland when Graymere Hall was going to be constructed. That was an important time. And, of course, that came about from the preacher's retreat that Brother William Woodson and Tom Holland had. Preachers would come from all over the United States, about 50 at a time. And somebody said, well, where do they stay? And Tom said, well, in some of your homes. You used to keep some of them. Some in motels. And the lady said, Mother, we ought to help them have a place where they can meet. So they gave the money for the building. Of course, Graymere added some to that. But that's the way that began. And it's been used for so many things. Andrew mentioned some of those this morning, in addition to the preacher's retreat, the Columbia School of Biblical Studies meets there, Future Preachers Camp, so many fellowship activities. So that's been a very useful building as well. And that was constructed by one of the members here, Alan Elias, built that building. Then there was a really special day for the church when Wendell Robinson came. Wendell came in 1983, he and Wanda and their three little children. He was the first minister of education in Columbia. In fact, over the years, Graymere always kind of had the idea, let's stay on the cutting edge. We want to stay faithful. We don't want to ever become liberal, so to speak. Although, by the way, Graymere, in the minds of some people in the early years, was thought of as a liberal congregation. And the reason, part of that was, the building looked like it did. But then, in the very beginning, there was not a full-time preacher here. And so they would invite preachers from the other congregations in town to come. Well, everybody had an 11 o'clock service. So Graymere would have an early service around 9 o'clock. And the preacher from the other congregation could come and preach here, and then he could go back to his home congregation. Well, the very idea that you met at some time other than 11 o'clock, you know, that was really, that was liberal. But it worked for a good period of time. But then also Graymere was the first congregation to have a minister of youth. And David Craig also came soon after that and has continued to be a vital part. But again, this is when Wendell came, and you know what Wendell has done and what he's meant to this congregation. Never could have had a one more pleasant relationship, a working relationship, than with Wendell. And then Graymere also was the first congregation to have a minister for seniors. And Brother Carmack Skelton came and really set the bar high for that effort. And Brother David Davison was with us for a while as a song leader and worked with the singles. And youth ministers like Rusty Pettis and Stan Butt, and there have been others. David Robinson was the very first one. And then there was David Carroll and Paul Roberts and Jeff Ingram. All of these men had an impact on the church. But any preacher would tell you that it's the secretaries. They can make you look good. Marie Hunter was the first, but others who have served, Helen Hickman, I wish I could have found a picture of Helen, but here are some of the others that have served. Shirley Corder was so good as a secretary here, and Sheila Butts was a secretary here for a while, and Linda Reich and Connie and Sheila. And then other people who've contributed a lot, the Beards, who took care of the building after Wilbert retired. He took care of the building for a long time. And what would we have done without Bill Welch for so long? And Francis, all of these contributed so much. Then the years have rolled by. I found some pictures that go back to some of these early years. And maybe you'll recognize some of these people. Maybe they'll recognize themselves. But there have been changes. Eddie and Lenora. Well, they work hard out in the outreach center. They really do a great job with that. Terry's still here. Terry saw the Lovells this morning. Mary Margaret. Glenn Kennard and his family. I won't try to mention all these. Of course, you see the locks that are here. They were... I think Faye stood up when the congregation first began. and the Hardisons, who had such an impact on the church here. George, of course, June Anderson, Buddy. It's right strange. Some of those people never did change. That would be strange. But it's interesting to think back over the years. And I think all of these, or at least parts of all of these families, are still worshiping here at Gray Mare. For all of these, we're very thankful. And over the years, Gray Mare was blessed to have some really outstanding men to come in for gospel meetings. A lot of places don't have gospel meetings, and I guess including Gray Mare. But over the years, we did have some really fine gospel meetings. Brother Batsel Barrett Baxter, Brother Ira North helped us so many times. He helped us when Columbia Academy was beginning. And by the way, maybe you know this, but Gray Mare was going to begin a Christian school. We had an accredited kindergarten. And I asked the elders, well, why can't we just add a grade a year and begin a Christian school? And we checked the classroom and all the facilities here, and they met state standards at that time. And they gave the okay. And so we were going to try to do that. And one day I was walking across the parking lot up at the hospital to visit, and Wayman Hickman, who was chairman of the CMA board, said, here you folks are going to start a Christian school. He said, how would you like to merge? Well, we really didn't think we could do that. But then a few weeks later, months later, they came back and said, basically, you folks, say who you want on the board. We'll vote you on. We'll resign. You take it. We didn't realize that there was going to be such a tremendous debt that we had to incur, about $900,000, which was tremendous at that time. But that's the way it began out at Columbia Academy. And those folks that were on the first board signed personal notes for that to happen. But anyway, that likewise, at least the seed of it, began here at Gray Mare. And Brother North came down and helped us many times with that. Of course, Brother Jim Bill McIntyre, as he's been often described as the only preacher you probably ever heard that could speak in Technicolor. Brother Guy in Woods, never knew a man who knew the Bible like he did. Brother Goodpasture, G.K. Wallace, Brother Craig, George Bailey, Willard Collins. Brother Collins came and preached the first Sunday of the year here at Gray Mare for what, Fred, 30 years? Long, long time. And that was always special. And my dad held some meetings here even before I came. And then, of course, there's been the work of the evangelistic work. And Charles Thigpen was a big part of that for a long time. And I was so glad to see Dr. Willie Robinson and Kathy here this morning. And really, the beginning of the work in India is the result of Dr. Robinson. He's the one that began that work, started it with our elders. And it's continued to be a good work. And, of course, there's the work down in Panama and various other places in that area. And I think that's Vance Hendrickson. I'm not positive. But I've often thought as they were operating on them like that, you sure you're a real dentist? but they did a lot of good work, sacrificing a lot. And Gray Mare's always had a mission-minded attitude. You know, there's in the life of any congregation, there are about three periods. There's a time when a congregation needs help. Highland helped Gray Mare. Then there comes a time when a congregation can be self-supporting, and then you look forward to the time when you can reach out and help others. Gray Mare's gone through all of those areas. The first mission, foreign mission work Gray Mare had was in Sierra Leone, West Africa. And then there was the work in India, and the work in Panama, and the work in Peru, and then many other places in the States. The first, probably the first really big work that we tried to do as a congregation was Brevard, North Carolina. And a lot of us made trips over there on numerous occasions for gospel meetings. Appleton, Alabama, Hanover, Pennsylvania, Columbus, Georgia were some of those early works. And there have been others, of course, since then. And there's always the time to eat. And I'm looking forward to that. I love to see that big tent out there. That's going to be great. But we've always been an eating congregation. And that's what will make a big preacher out of you. Big around, anyway. Oh, and all the different activities. Always had a great vacation Bible school. Jerry used to do that here, and Wendell has carried that on. And that one, they were inside the whale, I think, in that one. We've had the deaf ministry, the outreach center work that Howard and Bobby worked in the early years, and the giving the Bibles to the children when they were going to start school. Just a lot of things. And then we've had an outreach with the television broadcast. And Stan Butt did a one-minute broadcast several times a day, Word for the Way. But that really began with Highland. Brother Curtis Dowdy had that program, and he called it Word for the Way. And when they decided that they would give that up, we took that up. This congregation took it up and did that for a long time. I'm trying. And benevolence, that likewise has been a large part of the congregation. I found some old pictures that go back, I know at least to Fred Mosley's time, that show some benevolent work they were doing. But of course, Harry and Elizabeth were involved in that a lot, and the Tillmans, and Eddie and Lenore, and Nora continue to do that. Meals on Wheels. I remember going down for a gospel meeting at Kathy's Creek, and they would always have a covered dish meal, and they'd bring out these wagons, farm wagons, and put all the food on that. They said that was their Meals on Wheels program. Ours wasn't quite like that. But so many things, giveaway day, food pantry that the Reedies are involved in still. And then for a long time, the ladies here would go to Spring Hill to sew for the children there at the Tennessee Children's Home. That went on for years and years. That was a good work as well. And again, the Meals on Wheels and the visitation program. Brother Earl Dennis came down from the Creve Hall congregation and helped us set up the visitation program. And it's continuing to go to this very day. Tuesday, Thursday school, that likewise is going strong. The nursery, Tuesday, Thursday school. And I think this picture, I may be wrong, if it's not the first trip that the seniors took, it was one of the very first with Carmack Skelton, and that's still going on, of course, in a good way. But again, I go back to where we began. Samuel said to the people, "Only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He'd done for you." Well, He did do a lot for them. But truly the Lord has done great things for the Graymere Church of Christ. And I thought Andrew was right on target this morning when he said, it's God who gives the increase. And whatever we do, as Paul said in the Colossian letter, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And if this congregation will remain true to the Lord, there are still great things to come. The story of Israel, however, was a very sad story because they did not heed Samuel's advice. And finally, they were taken into captivity. And they never did return home, all of them. And there's not a Jew living today that knows from which tribe his ancestors came. It was sad because they did not heed that advice. But let us, the Hebrew writer says, and I think this can apply to us this morning, let us fear, therefore, lest happily a promise being left of entering into His rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Let us, therefore, give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience. Well, the best and the brightest days are ahead for the Graymere congregation, if you heed Samuel's advice. If you stay faithful to the Lord, respect Him, fear Him, serve Him with all of your heart, serve Him according to truth, His Word, and it'll grow, it'll be better. You have godly men to shepherd you. These are all good men. You have an outstanding group of ministers. And you know these men. They'll teach you and lead you in the right way. May God bless them to stay faithful to His Word. But only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He's done for you. 1956, 2016, but the best days are yet to come. May God bless you as a congregation, the shepherds, the ministers, and every member. I hope I live long enough to see some of those days that are yet to come. They're going to be great. But it surely has been a blessing this morning to be able to reminisce and remember. Sometimes we need a little jogging to remember. I've gotten to the point in my life where I do think a whole lot more about the hereafter. I go into a room and I wonder, what am I here after? But I hope I'm thinking about heaven a lot more too. But again, thank you. It's been the blessing of my life to be involved with this congregation. The major part of my life has been spent right here, and I'm thankful to God for it, and thankful for you, brethren. And look forward to the days to come as you continue to grow and serve the Lord. May God bless you. Thank you. I'm going to talk about memory. They did ask me to give thanks for the meal that we're about to enjoy. So if you'll bow with me, we'll do that. Our Holy Father, we are grateful to you. You've been so kind to us in so many ways, individually and as a part of your family, the church at this place. And we're thankful for the many good times that we've had together, the times of worship and the times of fellowship. And now we look forward to this meal that's been prepared, and we're grateful for those who prepared all of this food and made preparation for the place for us to meet and enjoy it. And Father, we thank you for not only this meal, but for all the good blessings you give us each day. Help us, Father, to stay faithful to you, and we pray that you'll continue to be kind and merciful to us and bless this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.